You know, we have to have faith in God.
It's not so much ourself, but we have to have faith in God. You know, God is a great God. He is the only true God. And He is the God that can do anything, like the song that's saying, God can do anything. What is the thing is, we can't do anything. We can't do everything. Listen, we can do anything, but we can't do everything. And that's one thing we can't do. We cannot heal ourselves. We can eat right. We can do things that will help heal. But really, when it comes down to it, God does the healing. We have to have divine healing. I'd like to turn to Hebrews a little bit here and share some testimonies and pray that God will bless and help me. I really believe that we need to increase our faith in God. In my lifetime, I have seen God, and I'm sure that many of you have seen God heal many times. And I like to read Hebrews 11. It said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Well, let's think about that verse just a little bit. You know, when we get saved, it said, if we come to him, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So from the very beginning of our relationship with Jesus, we have to have faith, right? We can't really see the evidence of salvation because we haven't lived, you know, a saved life. So we have to believe that God will reward us and save our soul. When we ask him to forgive us of our sins and we repent, we have to believe and know that God will forgive us. And that's we start our journey with the Lord. And then there's things that we need to steps of faith. When we first get saved, you know, we have to learn how to trust God with smaller things, such as maybe it's not real small to some people because headaches are terrible, but I'm just saying an example of a headache. Instead of going after the medicine cabinet, instead of going after Tylenol or an aspirin, you go pray. You go pray and you ask the Lord, "Lord, will you heal me of this headache? Would you help me out here?" And you exercise faith with God. And then the devil may tempt you, but, you know, you could go buy some aspirin, or you could, I'm just using an example, you could go get some Tylenol. Most of us, I'm sure, in our homes, we don't have those things. I don't have those things. But some people do. And they go after that. In life, we got to make choices, like Brother Carl was saying last night. We have to make choices. So we need to choose to trust in God. And so when God heals us of that headache, it increases our faith. And then maybe something else will come. Maybe you'll get a very bad sickness, like maybe a very bad cold that turns into a flu or something. It's maybe not life-threatening, but you need God to help you. Instead of going after all these remedies and medicine and things, you say, "Lord, would you please help me out here and heal me of this?" And you might drink fluids and you might drink juices and do things that helps. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to take care of our bodies and do the very best we can. But we go after God. We start praying. We start fasting. We ask the Lord, "Help me out here, Lord." And the Lord heals us. Maybe he heals us quickly. I know in my own life, there's been some times that I've been healed of a cold very quickly. I mean, it was more, you know, it just should not have been, I mean, medically speaking, or what a cold normally lasts for a while. They say it lasts up to about a week normally, a regular, maybe a small cold. But if you're healed in like in one day, or something. You know that was God. That was a divine healing. There's some things that just run its course and you just get better. Because God has made our body to fight sickness. He's made our immune system to fight things. But there's some things that God steps in and divinely heals us. Divinely does it. I know I'll tell some testimonies, but one testimony I had before one of my children was born, I believe it was Jody. Anyway, I was trusting the Lord at home, and I got very, very sick with a terrible headache. And I think it was high blood pressure, and it was just I kept the count of the hours. It was like 36 hours. My head never stopped hurting, that I recall. It was horrible. And I remember taking cold rags and trying to help myself, taking hot water bottles, and nothing seemed to help. And I did pray, but it just seemed like I had such doubts and fears. And I had read in a book, because I was studying all about childbirth, and because I planned on staying home, so I had studied that, and it said, this is one of the danger signals, a terrible headache. You need to get to a doctor right away or get to the hospital. And I that would come in my mind. And I said, but God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust in you. And I kept praying and praying, and finally I thought, you know, not that a hot water is wrong, not that a cold rag is wrong, but I just put it all aside. I said, you know, I'm just done with all any kind of remedy I could reach for, God. I'm just going to ask you to help me out here. I need healing. And Grandma came over, and we were singing some songs out of the Evening Light songbook. And this is Jerry's grandmother, I call her, Grandma Wilkins. And she told me to stand up and thank God for my healing. And I was not, you know, I hadn't been saved very long, and I hadn't trusted God with big things. And this was a very big thing to me, and she had to help me a whole lot. But this is why we mentor one another and try to increase each other's faith. This is what we're going to try to do this morning, is just increase your faith. And she said, stand up and praise God and thank God for your healing. And so I did. And I thought it was kind of strange to do that because my head was still hurting, but I did what Grandma told me because I had a lot of confidence in her. And I stood up and I said, Lord, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my healing. And you know, I kept praising God and we were singing songs. And all of a sudden, as I was thanking God and the pain was still there, the headache was still there, I was thanking him. And all of a sudden, God came down and started, you know, when you get a blessing from God and you weep and you feel God's presence. That's what I felt. I felt God's presence go over me and the headache disappeared and never came back. God divinely put something in and healed me. Well, you know, God doesn't always work the same way all the time. But that's a testimony of how God divinely sent his presence and healed me. And so this increased my faith. See, no doubt, every time, it's like in the Old Testament, they took these stones and God said, I want you to take these stones to remind how you went over the Jordan River. And how you went over the Red Sea, you know, to remind you of these Ebenezers that you walked on dry ground. And so we have to look back and say, well, you healed me of this, you healed me of that, and I know you're going to heal me of this. See, we have to look back and increase our own faith. Ask God, Lord, you didn't let me down there, you healed me. And I don't want, you know, when she was born, I went in too much detail, but I'll tell you this, I was at death's door. I was very, very sick. And at the very end, she was already born, but I would have been, actually, I was dying if God didn't help me. And I believe I could say this to be discreet enough, but I was hemorrhaging, and it would not stop. And I was bleeding very bad, and this was like 2 hours of this extraordinary. And the devil said, you know, if you don't get to the hospital, you are going to die. But I had made up my mind, and I had told the Lord, Lord, by God's grace, he told me to trust him. I was going to trust him. God came in and instantly healed me. I can't go in detail, but I tell you what, he instantly, after prayer, completely healed me. And all these things increased my faith. And all I just, Lord, help me to remember some other things, but God can heal us of many, many things. Grandma Wilkins, she told me once when she was in a car accident, very bad car accident, and she broke her arm. And she went to the hospital to get a set, and there's, you know, that's okay. I mean, there's, it's not that the saints put people in under bondage. You're not under bondage. You are free. You are free to do what you feel you should do, okay? We're not trying to put people under bondage. But we're trying to increase your faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. God can heal us when man can't help us. And so she went to get her arm set, but the doctor said, I'm going to have to operate and cut open your arm and put a you know, some kind of a prop there of metal or something to keep your arm, because there's no way I can just set your arm. You need an operation. Well, Grandma wouldn't go that far. She would get her arm set, but she said, I can't go that far. That was her personal conviction. She said, wrap up my arm, I'm going home. So she went home with a broken arm that needed, as far as the medical world, needed an operation. She went home, and she began to pray and pray, and Grandma was a prayer warrior. And one night, she had a wonderful dream. And she dreamed that she took her arm and she was moving it all around, and it was healed. She dreamed that. And she woke up the next day, and it was soon after that she was completely, instantly healed without even any kind of intervention by man. No one set her arm. No one operated on her arm. God healed her arm. But she had to go through a very, very consecration there. And see, this is the thing. People draw back from that side. We have to consecrate to get close to God and see these healings. We have to consecrate our bodies to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us out. And then it's kind of like at the 11th hour, and I know many of you have had experiences like that in your home, in your own body or with your children, where God came in, it seemed like at the 11th hour, or just before midnight, they say, and God miraculously healed. And it's the same with me. That's happened to me. But in this faith chapter, you know, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is who? That he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. You just think about Noah. You know, there had never been any rain, just dew on the ground. But God said, you build this big ark, and you bring the animals in. And they mocked Noah, and they laughed at him. And all that time he was probably preaching to them that you need to get saved, and you need to quit your wickedness. And they wouldn't listen. They just kept making fun of Noah, but he obeyed God. By faith, he made the ark. And it caused him to save his own life and his household. And I was thinking about our life. By faith, we choose to serve God, and we can save our whole household by that. Just by choosing to serve God, we save our whole household. And so then Abraham, he was told to go, and he obeyed God. I was reading just the other day, or last night, about Abraham and Lot. You know, Abraham and Lot, there was a lot of land, and they had so much herd, and they were not able to, you know, be, it was too much to be all together anymore. And so, you know, some of them wanted certain land, and Abraham just said, let's not there be any strife between us. Whatever you choose part of the land, I'll go the other way. And of course, Lot chose, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, because it looked so good and everything, but it wasn't. It was a bad thing, but the land looked good, so he picked the best land. Abraham took what was left over. He took Canaan, but, you know, anyway, the thought is that he wanted to be at peace. And he just believed God would take care of him. He just had faith, and it was the best way. That's the way it is. So Abraham always trusted in God. He always believed in God. And then it goes on that through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. How old was she? I think someone could help me with this. I think she was 90 or... What's that? Was she? Anyway, she was old, too old to have a child naturally. Yeah, I think she was 90. He might have been 99. I mean, it was just a miracle that they had this child. But by faith, that's what happened, you know, to their life. And then it goes on to say that through that child sprang so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You know, it's just kind of like us, you know. We live in this world, and our mind is more on heavenly things. You know, we live in the world, we operate. You know, we eat and we drink, we clean our houses, we operate, we drive cars and vehicles. And, you know, we live in the world, but our mind is more on heavenly things. We're seeking a country that's not this world. That's why we're so different to the world. We're like pilgrims and strangers, because to them they don't understand us. What? Why are you thinking the way you are? Because we're thinking of a heavenly world. That's why we can trust God, you know, sometimes live or die. Because we know if we die, it'll be better for us. We'll go be with the Lord. And if the Lord chooses to heal us, well, then he'll give us grace to live and until he's ready for us. You know, it's not that we don't love our life. Our life is very precious to us, and we thank God for our life, and we want to be healed. But we know that if we're not, that we will go to heaven, and we're seeking that country that's better. It's better. You know, it was mentioned the other night, I think Brother Carl mentioned about the 80 or 83-year-old man that he wanted to live. And it is kind of sad. People, I mean, that's the flesh part of us. We want to live. And he is grasping, you know, and I don't condemn people for that. It's sad that they don't have the hope of heaven like the saints have, you know. And he's reaching out, and the doctor said, well, I can try to fix your heart, and I'll try to operate on your heart, and you've got a 70% chance of making it. But then he died in the recovery room. Usually at that age, it's very hard for them to have a heart operation. But, you know, if he just would have had, I don't know if the man got saved during this time. Hope he did. But, you know, it's very sad that people have all their hope in keeping this body going. Because, you know what? It's not going to always go. It's not always going to live forever. We have to realize that's the truth. So the main thing for us is to feed the spirit, the spiritual life. Make sure that we're in contact with God, because that life will live forever and ever. If this life is body is destroyed, we have a hope of heaven. We have a hope of heaven. I'd like to turn and read just a few scriptures over here in Mark to increase our faith. You know that so many good scriptures here in Mark. Mark 9. And it says here, let's start reading about the 19th. Well, let's read above that too, about 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. You know, God can heal everything, not only heal our bodies, he can cast out devils out of people. He can heal them. When he told the spirit to leave that man, that he asked, that spirit said he was a legion. I was reading that the other day, and it said 2,000 of these spirits, well, it was 2,000 swine. So that's the spirits, let's just say that. There was 2,000 swine were possessed with these spirits when that God cast that out of that man that had legion. And when they said they wanted to go into those swine, and God suffered them to go into the swine. And those swine ran into the water and drowned themselves. And many of those people were upset with Jesus because they made a living with those swine. That's why they were mad at Jesus, because the spirits went in the swine and they were drowned, and that hurt their occupation there. But anyway, that's just, can you imagine? I was just thinking, that man had that many evil spirits in him? No wonder he acted the way he did. That's horrible. But you know, there are evil spirits, but God can heal of that. The saint, the ministers can pray and by faith and believe and rebuke the devil, and they can come out. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you, and bring him unto me? They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Dear ones, we have to really work with believing. This is our part. Like Brother Marty was preaching the other day, our part is to believe. And you say, well, I'm having struggles with doubts and fears. Well, that's the devil. You just got to rebuke him. My favorite thing to do is plead the blood of Jesus, because, you know, he talks to me too, and I have to rebuke him. And my favorite thing that Grandma taught me was plead the blood of Jesus. Because when I was first saved, you know, I had to have some help. And she said, honey, if the enemy tries to tempt you, just plead the blood of Jesus. And I have kept that with me all my life. And the enemy comes along and tries to make me fear and doubt. I just say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And you know what? The devil leaves, because he cannot go over the blood of Jesus. And you know, and another thing that the enemy tries to do is have us have accusations, you know, accuse us. And that's the spirit of the devil. We got to have faith to overcome those accusations. You know, I mean, if you know that you're living free from sin, you got to have faith that you're saved. You got to testify that you're saved. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Some people have a hard time having faith just to testify, but we got to do it. We got to do our part. And I was thinking about, like, you know, it's just like when God parted the waters of the Red Sea, he told them, step into the water. And when they put their foot into that water, then God was parting it, but he parted it. And so he told them to step into it. They had to have faith to step into it. And it was parted. Actually, God was working on parting it all night long, but he completely parted it when they began to actually go by faith and walk. And that's what we got to do. We got to step into the water. We got to believe. And we need to even tell God, Lord, help my unbelief. If there's any unbelief in me, help my unbelief. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. You know, we're human beings, and sometimes we do believe, but then there's just a little bit of unbelief working on us. And we just, Lord, help my unbelief. If there's any unbelief, you know, I think the man wanted his child healed so bad that he just thought, Lord, I don't want to mess up here. I've got faith and I believe, but if there's any unbelief, just help that and help me to get rid of that. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I was just thinking, it was such great power on this child. I mean, it was such great power. He was like one dead. It was hard on his body in a way. But Jesus lifted him by the hand and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? You know, the disciples had tried to do that. And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And you know, I know we're here today, most of us, I don't know all of us are, but many of us are fasting and praying that God will heal the sick today. And there is power in fasting and praying. And sometimes I've read in some of these older books too that How I Got Faith by Willison Brown and some of these books, but you know, Brother Sue Sag, that's a powerful book about faith, and But one thing about faith and prayer and fasting, some people can't seem to maybe, if it's hard for you to fast all the day long, or maybe like if you're going to have a burden about something special and you want to fast for a week or two, then pick out one of your favorite meals. You know, we have breakfast, lunch, and supper. Maybe it's your lunch that you love. Maybe it's your breakfast. And if it's that meal, take that meal and give your time to prayer. See, it's fasting prayer. It's not fasting and going about shopping and doing everything else. You're supposed to take that time you were going to eat and go pray. Fasting and prayer. And then you give up that breakfast. Maybe you give it up for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month till you get an answer from God. But there is power in fasting. And you can, and the Lord's been challenging me on that, you know, choose something that you want God to answer prayer, and lay aside some food and spend that time in prayer, and God will hear. So there was fasting and prayer. He said, this doesn't come but by prayer. This was Jesus' words, prayer and fasting. They departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. And then it goes on that I wanted to read another scripture over here. Jesus said in the 27th verse of the next chapter there, it says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. God can do anything. We know that God, like the song said, God can do anything. He can do anything. There is nothing that God can do. I like to read over here about in the 10th chapter of Mark. And it says here that Bartimaeus was blind. And the 46th verse, they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, I'm not saying that right, but not for sure, but sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. This man had faith that God would give him. Jesus asked him, what do you want? And he told him, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus all in the way. So this man was healed of blind eyes. And you know, there's just so many scriptures about healing. I want to read about in the 20th verse of this 11th chapter. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember when the Lord cursed that tree? And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, this is one thing that we do not want to lose as a church. We cannot lose faith in God. It's not a good thing for us. We just can't do it. We just can't do it because it says it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to have faith to be saved. We have to have faith to be sanctified. We have to be faith to be healed. We have to have faith every day of our life to go forward for God. We have to have faith for our callings that God gives us. We have to have faith to rebuke the enemy when he comes in like a flood to raise up a standard against him. We have to have faith for others that are counting on us to pray for them. We have to have faith that God will help us. We had to have faith the other day when the tornadoes were coming. We were in our shelter over there with our two daughters, and Jerry was coming. He was a little slow. He didn't get in there yet. But if I see Jerry coming, I know a tornado's coming, probably for sure. But anyway, we was in there, but we was praying, and the Lord let the tornado pass the chapel here and pass us. And I thank God for that, you know. But we had to have faith, you know. I was reading one time that the sister, a fire was coming. And this is another thing, dear ones. The Bible is full of stories about faith. And if you want to really help your faith, get some of these books at the print shop. We've got them over at the, a lot of them over at the school now. Have faith in God. There's, like I said, Willis and Brown, Brother Susek. I don't know if they have that one, but I've got a lot of these books that I have read all through my spiritual life that has helped my faith to be increased. And one story I read, I don't know which book that was, but this sister, she lived on a farm, and a fire was coming. And she went out there on the porch, and the fire was coming right towards their farm. And she raised her hand to God, and she said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus," I might not have the exact words, "cause this fire to go away from our farm. Cause this fire to go away." And she prayed in the name of Jesus, and the wind changed and began to blow that fire away from their home. These are things that's true, that God can help us. I know when I was 16 years old, I was in a car accident. And I really believe that God spared my life, and I wasn't saved. But I remember as the car was hitting us, I knew I wasn't ready to meet God. I was 16. And I said, "God, help me. God, help me." And God caused me to live out of that car accident. And I had a later one, too, when I was saved. And God let me live out of that one, too. And God spared our life. God is a miracle-working God. I know when I was hemorrhaging and they had taken us to the hospital, we were hit. A drunk man hit us about 2 o'clock in the morning. Jerry's mother was real sick, and we was in the hospital, and they were trying. All they did really was just stitch up my head, and I think a few cuts on my hand. But they thought that my spleen was broken. I had broken ribs. Jerry had broken ribs, broken ankle. Tammy had a broken arm. It was Jerry and I and the three girls. He had a broken jaw in 2 places. It was a bad accident. But you know, the saints came in right away to help us. But I wanted to testify about this, that the blood, I could feel it when the ambulance, I had been knocked out and I came conscious again. I was completely knocked out. I just know everything went black and I couldn't see. And I couldn't see for a while. And I could feel, I couldn't even see the paramedics, but I could feel this blood pouring out of my left side of my head in my temple. And I knew when they said, I was saying, "How is my children? How are, is Jerry, how's my children?" I was worried about my children. And I could feel this blood coming out. And they said, "They're all right. They're all right, ma'am." But they said, "You've hit the main artery in your temple, and we can't stop the bleeding." They said, "You're really in great danger here." I'm not exact words how they said, but I know they said, "You hit the main artery, and we can't stop the bleeding." And I remember calling unto the Lord in my heart. And I said, "Lord, help me to live to raise my children." I was about 29 years old then, and all three little girls were little. And I said, "Please help me to live to raise my children." And they took me to the hospital, and the bleeding was still going. And they had me in the emergency room. I could see a little bit then. And like I said, I had broken ribs. I was really in pain. But you know, I kept praying to the Lord, and the saints were coming, but they hadn't got there yet. And I was saying, "Lord, would you please stop this bleeding?" Because the doctor said, "We can't stop your bleeding, and I can't sew your head up." I had 40 stitches inside and out in my temple. But I think it was, we had kind of like that gear shift, and I think when the hit, I think I went that way, my head just went into that gear shift, my temple. You know, they say if you want to, I mean, it's a very dangerous to get hit in your temple. But you know, I sure pray, "Lord, would you please help my bleeding to stop in Jesus' name?" I was praying to the Lord in my heart. And the doctor said, "It's starting to clot." It was the Lord. Praise God. It was just the Lord. And then they were able to sew my head up. to stop the bleeding. I praise God. And then they put me on the floor. They thought they were going to operate on me. They didn't know how we believed. Somebody, after the saints got there, told them. And they came in. They says, we've heard that you don't want to take medicine and things in your church. And your children, we need to take care of your children. What do you want us to do? I was on the spot. I didn't really know what to say. I didn't know how my children were hurt. You know, I was sick myself and hurt. And I know we're not supposed to be under the circumstances, but that's what I said to him. I said, well, under the circumstances, just do what you think you need to do for the children. I said, I didn't know. Well, come to find out, there wasn't that, little Jody was okay, and she was released, and Tammy had a broken arm and a cut on her head. They sewed up and set her arm. And then Rhonda had hit her side of her face, and all I think it was really terribly black and blue and swollen, but all they did was put an ice pack on her. So there wasn't anything really, So I just thank God. But they put me on the floor to operate on me, and I did not know that's what their plans were. They said my spleen, because I lost so much blood, my blood count was low. And I'm telling this to testify how God helped me. And they came in and they said, you're going to have a blood transfusion. And I thought, oh, there was a doctor and I think two nurses. And I was by myself and I thought, oh, God, help me right here. What do I say? And the Lord said, just wait. Don't say nothing right now. I said, I don't want this blood transfusion, Lord. As soon as they walked out, Brother Ed Wilson walked in. I said, Brother Ed, he was our pastor with Brother Souders. I said, go tell Brother Souders and the saints right away to talk to the doctors or something and tell them, I do not want this blood transfusion. And so they did. And they were very upset. And the doctor came in and he said, you're going to die. You are going to die if you don't get this blood transfusion. Your blood count is too low. And I said, doctor, please don't worry about it. Because I said, I know I'm not going to die. He goes, how do you know you're not going to die? I said, because I already would have died if God wanted me to. And he's not going to let me die. And you got to have mercy on them because they don't have the faith. They don't understand. They're just trying to do their job. And I want to say something here, We need to be balanced and understand. I hope I'm saying this. I got to be very careful. But, they don't think the way we do. They're trying to help people. But it's not the best way for the saints to go. It really isn't. It's better to trust in the Lord. It's better to go God's way because God can help us because we have faith and we know God and God can do miracles for us. Anyway, the Lord, he got me out of that and they didn't operate on me or nothing. They can't really do anything for broken ribs. They just have to be healed. But anyway, God was wonderful. God blessed Jerry. They did put his jaw back together. He was broken two places. He suffered for about 6 weeks. He couldn't even eat except drinking a shake out of a straw. He couldn't open his mouth. We had wire cutters in case that if he started to choke or something, that we could cut his wires. I mean, we went through something. But you know what? On the way home, my mom and dad came. My mom, dad took me home, and his parents took him home. And the children were with some of the, I think they were with Judy and Gary. But when I was going home, and we suffered greatly with those broken ribs. Both Jerry had broken ribs too, and they were very painful for quite a while. But I just praise God that he let us live. And that's all I could say to the Lord. I just, Lord, you let my whole family live. I didn't lose one of my little girls. I didn't lose my husband. I didn't lose my life. God, I praise you. Even though this is a heart trial and it's not easy, I praise you, God. That's the way the Lord wants us to be. Just trust in him. Praise him for what he does for us. Just remember that. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. There's things in our life. It's not a literal mountain, but it's a mountain to us. It's something that is just a mountain to us. A spiritual mountain. But he said, I say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you, you what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. You know, I want to remember in the Old Testament, there was a man that said, the first thing that walks through that door, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. And it was his daughter. He should have never said that. And we should never go around and say, I just don't have faith. I don't have faith. You know what? If you say that, you won't have faith because you're saying it. We have to say to the mountain, I have faith in God. We have to say, I am healed. What the song that we just sang about, take up thy bed and just start walking. Arise, take up thy bed. Take up thy bed and walk. That sister that was having trouble with the fear of that altar, she was delivered because she walked around the altar and she said, I'm not going to have fear of it no more. See, she did something. I remember one other time in Michigan, I had kidney stones. Like, I never went to a doctor, but I suffered for a month. And they passed from me. But I remember walking, and they can be very bad, very painful. But I remember one night, I was walking in the basement. My husband had finished our basement. I was down there. I was listening to some hymns of some of the saints singing, and I was thanking God for healing me. And the pain was just terrific. It was horrible. I couldn't sleep. I was walking all night. Terrible pain. But I know I said, Lord, I know you're going to heal me. I thank you for healing me. I just kept saying it anyway because I knew it worked before. Grandma taught me, and I know you're going to heal me, Lord. And you know, God just started blessing my soul in the basement there. But the pain didn't go away right then. But he started blessing my soul. And it was soon after that, God caused those to pass and completely healed me. And I suffered with that for a month. That was another thing. But there's been lots of things. But anyway, I just want to encourage you a few things this morning, because share some of the Word of God with you. There's many, many, many more scriptures. I think about, was it not Paul, Silas was in the jail? They'd whipped them. They'd been whipped and everything. But they sang praises to God. Remember that? And they were delivered out of that prison because they sang praises to God right in the battle. That's what we have to do. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord said he would raise a standard against him. You can go around and say, I'm healed, when you don't see the sign of being healed. You may come to the altar today and not even feel anything or see any difference. But you go out and just keep saying, I say to this mountain, I am healed. I say to this affliction, I am healed by God's grace. I am healed. And just keep praising God for it. You know, God loves faith. He works with faith. You pray for me.